From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice for me, Amanda, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some segments started from news highlights of the week and so forth. And we're also going to play Indonesian pop songs. I'll begin with the news. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia. Here's the news first, the headlines. President Jokowi urges to furnish truthful data for the 2020 population census. Irish Republican leader sees united vote in 3 to 5 years. Now the news in detail. President Jokowi Dodo or Jokowi has urged Indonesians to offer truthful information in the 2020 population census that is underway concurrently across Indonesia from Saturday, February 15, 2020. President Jokowi stated on the YouTube channel of the Presidential Secretariat on Saturday to give truthful information since the provided information will significantly determine the government's development policy in the future. The 2020 population census is the first to apply an online system, also called the independent census, to be conducted from February to March 2020. Residents can simply access the online census page on the address census.bps.go.id and enter the page by typing their population identification numbers or NIK. The second stage census will be conducted conventionally by the Central Bureau of Statistics or BPS officers who will undertake door-to-door visits in July 2020. The final stage of the Trilogy 2020 population census is the same poll enumeration to be conducted in July 2021. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin said the 1 million homes program must be continued to increase the achievement targets every year to reduce the number of residential backlogs, namely the gap between the number of houses built and the number of residents who need homes. This was said by the Vice President Ma'ruf Amin when he opened the Indonesian Property Expo or IPEX 2020 at the Jakarta Convention Center Senayan on Saturday. The target number of achievement of the Decent and Affordable Residential Development Program will continue to be increased every year because the population growth rate continues to increase and the number of new families who need housing also increases. Previously, the Vice President explained that based on data from the Central Statistics Agency, or BPS, the percentage of families owning a house decreased from 2015 by 82.63% to 80.02% in 2018. The decrease shows the number of people who need houses is getting higher. Communication observer at Pelita Harapan University Emrus Sihombing said in a statement in Jakarta on Saturday that there was no political interest and discrimination against certain importers in the implementation of garlic imports. Emrus wants the implementation of garlic imports to meet domestic supply carried out in a spirit of openness. According to him, the transparency could support the Minister of Agriculture in improving procedures for the determination of horticultural product import recommendations or RIPH and the distribution of import quotas. On a separate occasion, Commissioner of the Business Competition Supervisory Commission or KPPU Guntur Saragi requested that there will be no discrimination against garlic importers by prioritizing certain parties. he said importers who had fulfilled the requirements should have obtained HIPH so that there was no longer any delay in fulfilling garlic needed by the community. In other words, the realization of imports should not be withheld because this is a regular requirement. Previously, the Ministry of Trade said that the import permit of 62,000 tons of garlic in the near future will soon be issued from 103,000 tons of recommendation permits granted to the Ministry of Agriculture. Brexit is a game changer that could trigger a referendum on Irish unification within 3 years. The leader of the National Sinn Féin Party, Mary Lou MacDonald, said on Saturday. Her party, whose central policy is to take Northern Ireland out of British control, is flying high having won the popular vote in last week's general election. To the Times newspaper, she is sure to be elected on a mandate to be government and to form an executive. She continued that this wasn't a protest vote. The party's journey from political pariah connected to republican terrorism to mainstream confirmed that Ireland was moving towards a reunification vote. MacDonald claimed the Brexit vote was driven by the lowest common denominator of English nationalism and that Ireland should start making the preparations for its own referendum. 8 of 9 people diagnosed with the new coronavirus in Britain have left hospital, having now tested negatively twice for the virus. NHS England said on Saturday, the final person is still being treated at Guy's and St. Thomas Hospital in central London. In addition, all 94 people who were quarantined at Erowid Park Hospital in northwest England after being flown back from Wuhan have now left the site. But more than 100 people are still in quarantine in a hotel north of London after arriving from China last week. China is disinfecting and isolating used banknotes as part of efforts to stop and spread of the new coronavirus that has killed more than 1,500 people, it was stated by an official on Saturday. Banks use ultraviolet light or high temperatures to disinfect yuan bills, then seal and store the cash for 7 to 14 days, depending on the severity of the outbreak in a particular region before recirculating them. China's central bank said at a press conference, the virus, which has infected more than 66,000 people in China and spread to more than 24 other countries, has sparked a rush to disinfect public places and minimize contact between people. A 60-year-old Chinese tourist has died from the new coronavirus in France, the first death confirmed outside of Asia, French Health Minister Agnès Buzyn said on Saturday. Buzyn said she had been told about the death of the patient in a hospital in Paris since last January, adding that his condition had deteriorated rapidly after several days in critical condition. 6 people with the virus remain in hospital in France, Buzyn said, adding that none were seriously ill. The virus originated late last year in China, where it has since infected more than 66,000 people and killed more than 100,500. 3 deaths from the virus have so far been recorded outside mainland China, in the Philippines, Hong Kong and Japan. And listener, that was the news.
This week's spotlight is on illegal returns of terrorists to be watched out. The Indonesian government has refused the repatriation of cross-border terrorists, or known as foreign terrorist fighters, FTF, who originated from Indonesia. A number of actions will be taken to anticipate if they try to return via independent or illegal routes. Therefore, verification of the FTF's identity is important to be known in detail and in full by the government. President Joko Widodo stated this after inaugurating the head of the Navy, Admiral Aan Kurnia, at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. President Joko Widodo said that the government prioritizes the responsibility of security for 267 million Indonesian citizens. Therefore, the government has no plans to repatriate the foreign terrorist fighters, FTF. According to President Joko Widodo, the decision was taken with consideration, among other things, that cross-border terrorists should be responsible for their own choice to go to Syria and forsake Indonesian citizenship. To prevent the return of the FTF people in various ways, including through neighboring countries that have visa-free lines with Indonesia, the President requested that verification be carried out in detail, ranging from names, origins, and other data. So far, there have been 228 recorded FTF people with complete data supervision to prevention can be carried out optimally. Regarding children under the age of 10 brought by their parents to join the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, ISIS, President Joko Widodo said the government also identified them. Meanwhile, the Coordinating Minister for Politics, Law and Security, Mahfud MD, added the FTF who tried to enter Indonesia through the illicit route would be arrested. For this reason, anticipation is done early. Furthermore, Mahfud said, based on the data summarized by the CIA, the National Counterterrorism Agency, the National Intelligence Agency and others now confirmed that there were 689 FTF people from Indonesia, including children. The children are not expected to have been exposed to the ideology of ISIS but need prior contraction. The General Secretary of the Muhammadiyah Central Executive, Abdul Muti, said that the government needed to register the FTF in advance. That is because there are three categories of ex-ISIS from Indonesia, namely those who went to Syria and became combatants ideologically, second, those who became combatants due to pragmatic reasons, including the lure of high salaries but do not have a strong ideology, third, those who joined in because they were deceived by family members or friends. They are not involved at all as combatants, but some of them even become victims of violence. Well, that was Spotlight of the Week over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, I'll begin with February the 16, 1962, the North Sea Flood. The North Sea Flood in 1962 was a natural disaster that affected much of the coast of Germany and especially the city of Hamburg from February the 16th to 17, 1962. In total, the homes of around 60,000 people were destroyed and toll deaths totaled 315 in Hamburg, and in addition, three people were killed in Britain by strong winds, which damaged around 175,000 homes in the city worst affected, Sheffield. Turning to February the 16, 1998, China Airlines Flight 676 crashed. China Airlines Flight 676 crashed into the road and residential area near Chiang Kai-shek International Airport in Taoyuan County, Taiwan on Monday night, February the 16, 1998. The Airbus A300-622R jet with hull number B1814 is flying from Ngurah Rai International Airport in Bali, Indonesia to Taipei, Taiwan. The weather was dominated by rain and fog as the aircraft approached the runway of Chiang Kai-shek International Airport. The 196 people killed included the president of Taiwan Central Bank along with seven people on the ground. I'll conclude with February 16, 2005. The Kyoto Protocol came into force. The Kyoto Protocol is an amendment to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, an international agreement on global warming. Countries that have ratified this protocol are committed to reducing emissions of carbon dioxide and five other greenhouse gases. or working together in the emissions trade if they maintain the amount of increase the emissions of these gases which have been linked to global warming. If successful, the Kyoto Protocol is predicted to reduce the average global weather by 2050. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Jürgen Musel in Germany. He was listening to our broadcast in German language through 3325 kilohertz on November 3rd, 2019 at 1800 hours until 1820 hours UTC with SINPO 32333. Hello, Mr. Jürgen Musel. Thank you for your reception report. Your email has been forwarded to German section, so please be patient to wait for the reply. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song for you. Here is the song.
Di hening malam.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today, February the 16th, 2020, is on National Sport Week's venue ready for international activities. Minister of Youth and Sport Zainuddin Amali will offer the use of the Bangkit Papua Stadium in Kampung Harapan Sentani, Jayapura Regency, Papua for national and international events. He stated this during the chef de mission of the Indonesian National Sports Committee meeting in Sentani, Papua on Thursday night. However, according to the minister, other activities such as international club matches can also use the stadiums that have become an icon of Papua. Earlier on Thursday afternoon, Zainuddin Amali and his group visited a number of the 20th National Sport Week venues in Papua, including the Bangkit Papua Stadium. Meanwhile, the Indonesia National Sports Committee's center is optimistic that the construction of the match venue for the 20th National Sports Week in 2020 in Papua Province can be completed on schedule. Chairperson of the Central Committee, Marciano Norman, in Jayapura, Papua, on Thursday said, "The Sport Week's venue work undertaken by the central government and the provincial government of Papua was expected to be completed in July 2020. He said that he had visited the venues directly in Mimika and Jayapura regencies and saw progress of its construction. According to Marciano, in general, the construction of venues built with substantial funds is expected to give birth to athletes who excel. For example, the tennis court venue next to the Jayapura Mayor's office is the best tennis court in Indonesia with amazing views. Therefore, he hopes that with the best venue, a potential player and achiever from Eastern Indonesia will be born as a center for sport coaching." Marciano also took time to visit the baseball and softball venues at Jayapura Silas Papare Airstrip, the Mahachandra soccer field in Cendrawasih Universities, and other venues. So that was My Indonesia Today on the National Sports Week Papua Sports Venue ready for international activities. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener Alex Choroba, who is also in Germany. He was listening to our broadcast in Mandarin. Hello, Mr. Alex. Thank you very much for your attention on our broadcast. Your email has been forwarded to Mandarin section, so please be patient to wait for the reply. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Tiba saat mengerti jerit suara hati yang letih meski mencoba melabuhkan rasa yang ada. Mohon tinggal sejenak, lupakanlah waktu, temani air mataku, teteskan lara, merajut asa, menjalin mimpi, hendakkan sepi-sepi. Cinta kan membawamu kembali di sini. Keraguan
desit suara hati yang letih meski mencoba melabuhkan rasa yang ada. Mohon tinggal sejenak, lupakanlah waktu, temani air mataku, teteskanlah.
RRI was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, featuring various aspects of Indonesian tourism. Today we will invite you to culinary tour to taste the delicacy of roasted rice with buffalo bone marrow, which is one of the culinary delights from Serang, Banten. Speaking of rice, almost everybody in the Indonesian archipelago knows rice as a staple food. In the city of Serang, Banten, there is food made from rice which is famous for being very delicious, called nasi sumsum bakar or roasted marrow rice. As the name suggests, marrow rice is a combination of rice and buffalo bone marrow. Processing marrow rice is still very natural because the spices commonly used are processed by pounding it to get a natural flavor, not blended. After mixed with herbs, the rice that has been combined with buffalo bone marrow is wrapped in banana leaves, then cooked by baking to produce a very delicious and distinctive aroma and taste. This marrow rice culinary is usually served with several slices of cucumber and tomatoes, but there are also those who enjoy it by adding buffalo tongue satay, buffalo meat satay, corn satay, and others. Roasted marrow rice has become popular in Serang starting 1941. At that time, the butchers working in the Serang area saw the remains of bones that were not utilized as waste. Then the bones were brought home, and it turned out that the bone he brought attracted the attention of a bone seller. The bones were broken into pieces to facilitate sales. On the inside of the unused bone, there was some marrow. So, by the wife of the bone seller, the marrow was then mixed into rice, then cooked into a daily dish. After there were neighbors who were interested and tasted it, the roasted marrow rice became famous in the city of Serang. Although roasted marrow rice is now somewhat rare, but for those of you who have a hobby of culinary and want to taste it, don't worry, because starting at 4:30 until 10 at night, you can find people selling it in tents near the town square of Serang. At the location, sellers only need to roast the marrow rice that has been prepared from home so that the buyer can enjoy roasted marrow rice in a warm condition with side dishes. For one plate containing 2 packs of roasted marrow rice without side dishes and a cup of fresh tea, you only need to pay 10,000 rupiah, which is not even $1. So, if you are a culinary lover, try roasted marrow rice from the city of Serang, Banten. Melt buffalo marrow and oil that enters the rice will produce special aroma and taste. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again tomorrow with more interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. He was listening to our English program through 3325 kHz on February 12, 2020, at 1300 hours until 1400 hours UTC. In his email, he told that our signal was very poor with SINPO 222. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Akil Bashir. Thank you for being our regular listener, especially in English program. I told to our technical division that our signal was very poor in your country. According to our technical division, the signal depends on the weather. If it is winter in your country now, so the signal cannot be reached your country. I hope my answer can satisfy you. Thank you. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song for you and other listeners around the world. Here is the song.
Setiap aku tahu dia di dekatku, aku susah bila dia tak ada. Tak ingin jauhku darinya. Ada rasa yang tak biasa yang mulai ku
listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's miscellany is about app created by Brawijaya University students can prevent poisoning. Farming products such as meat, egg, and milk are consumed by many. However, they are easily damaged, which can cause poisoning if consumed. Therefore, students of Brawijaya University Malang created application based on digital transformation for food safety, implementation as educational facilities in animal science and human health, or AFSA. AFSA aims to educate people about proper food safety handling, especially towards farming products. AFSA was made by some students of farming faculty, namely M. Alvan Nurdin, Saskia Amalia Puspita Dewi, Rivaldi Fadila, Siti Nur Ulpa, Himatul Ulia Al Ulumia, and one from medical faculty, Muslimatul Rahmah. Alvan said the app has three icons, namely tips, check product quality and profile. The main menu contains information about farming products, beginning from price and food poisoning cases. Meanwhile, in tips menu, there are some recommendations about food safety, such as storage, processing, food recommendation from farming product, as well as menu from other countries. Besides about product, the app allows users to check products they own by chatting the admin. Therefore, the user can know if the product can be consumed. Through AFSA, inter-faculty collaboration received award in international event. This team gained silver in Thailand Inventors Day 2020 during International Intellectual Property, Invention, Innovation, and Technology Exposition in Bangkok, February 2nd until 6th, 2020. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today about app created by Brawijaya University students can prevent poisoning. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. See you next time.
Bunga asmara ingin bersemi di dalam hati. bagaikan terjebak. Hatiku pun meledak. Yang tak pernah terjadi kini ku alami sejak kehadirannya. Burung-burung bernyanyi, alam berwarna-warni, mentari di ujung rambutnya. Inikah
tanda-tandanya bunga asmara ingin bersemi sekali lagi? Tanda-tandanya bunga asmara ingin bersemi di dalam hati ini sekali lagi. Tanda-tandanya bunga asmara ingin bersemi sekali lagi.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back in Music Corner. Today we will present you a song by Rosa. One of Rosa's best hits is Tegar, which was released in the late 1990s. The song written by Melly Goslow and Anto Hood has poetic lyrics and quite romantic song. No wonder this song becomes one of the songs of Rosa's timeless song. In 2019, the song Tegar is exactly 20 years old. To commemorate this, one of the Indonesian divas assisted by several other Indonesian musicians to release a new version of the song Tegar, entitled Tegar 2.0, without leaving a feeling of unrest that is very tightly bound in the original version of the song. In Tegar 2.0, Rosa wants to bring the feelings of the glitch in a different packaging. In the new version, the song Tegar has a more cheerful arrangement. Well, listener, here is Tegar 2.0 by Rosa.
Goda aku untuk berpikir, dia yang tercinta, mengapa telah lama tak nampak dirimu di sini? Jangankan ingin ku tersenyum, tak ada gairah, ku ingin selalu bersamamu. Kini ku
Of Indonesia.
Songs Indonesia.
Kau datang dan jantungku berdegup kencang. Kau buatku terbang melayang. Tiada ku sangka getaran ini ada saat jumpa yang pertama.
mataku tak dapat terlepas darimu. Perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, yeah, yeah. Tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama. Darimu. Perhatikan setiap tingkahmu, yeah, yeah. Tertawa pada setiap candamu saat jumpa yang pertama. Could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be, could it be, could it be love? Could it be love? Could it be love? Could this be something that
it's time for me to sign off now. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at Voi Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Amanda. See you on the next English program.